You're listening to Unchained, a podcast that explores the meaning of freedom, the chains that hold us back, and how to break them to find freedom in life and business. I'm your host, Philip Ride, and I've been an entrepreneur and freelancer since the age of 16. I'm also an author, international speaker, and coach. On this podcast, I'm answering your burning questions, getting insights from people who have found their freedom, and taking you behind the scenes of coaching sessions. My guest today is Jo Swan. She is a lady who specializes in PR. But the interesting thing about her story that I want to dive into is the switch from corporate to now supporting women entrepreneurs in telling their own stories. Jo, thank you for joining me today. Very quick introduction there. Normally I go into a bit more detail, but I think it's interesting that switch from big corporate PR to, you know, finding the thing that makes you tick, that gets you out of bed in the morning and supporting, you know, women entrepreneurs and people who are growing their own businesses. But talk me through that story of going from big corporate, because there was a period, you know, we've had a conversation beforehand, and as I understand, you know, a dark period of, it's like, is this really working for me? Is this really what I want? So talk me through that of, okay, you know, some of the brands that you worked with, recognizable brands on the corporate PR side, and what corporate PR is all about, and then how you've now found your calling, and again, how different that is in terms of working with individuals, telling their story, helping them grow their businesses.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like I've got to go rewind and go back a little bit to be able to explain how all of this came about. So Chocolate PR has actually been going for 20 years this year. So we are celebrating our 20-year anniversary this year. And as part of that growth and that process of getting to this point in business, you take different turns along the way, don't you? So when I first went self-employed, I had left an agency, and that agency was very used to working with corporates. That was, you know, that was what they did. That was what I knew. So that's kind of how I had kind of got into PR in the first place, working with, you know, big organizations, helping them to find their voice in a very crowded space and bring a bit of creativity and a bit of fun and a bit of, you know, the people and the human side to bring in those brands to life. So when I went on my own, I went down that same path and was like, well, this is just what you do. You know, this is what PR is. So then I worked for years and years and years, building up a really fabulous portfolio of clients, massive, massive range from people like working with Dale Carnegie from the training side and the personal development side, organizations like Learn Direct, who were helping people to upskill, interesting organizations, also banks and building societies who wanted to get closer to their audiences and to be seen as, you know, being the neighborhood bank. So we did loads of CSR type stuff, which I loved as well, because that's very interesting in terms of bringing people into a business and making that business not seem so cold and corporate. That was always the slant I was trying to put on the work that we were doing, even with the big organizations. We also worked with some fab, fun clients like Whistles, and we did launches and Yo Sushi. Really kind of, again, they came to us because they wanted that creative edge. So really, really interesting work. But what I found after I'd done all of that stuff for years and years, and you kind of build up to be, you know, I was kind of at a level where I was being put in boardrooms with all of the management teams and, you know, sort of 30 odd people sometimes as part of company, you know, discussions and direction. And I think what I found was that PR quite often was something that was being added in, perhaps by one or two people within the organization who really got it. But a lot of the other people in those teams really weren't bought into using it as a tool. They were very traditional. They wanted to spend the money on advertising, or they wanted to do something else. And so I found that I was fighting against this brick wall so often. And you'll know when you're so passionate about your work, and when, I think I am a bit of a workaholic to be fair, when you've got that in you, you always want to be doing the best that you can, and you always want to have the best possible outcomes. And when you feel like that's not possible because actually you're being blocked, or you're not able to deliver on what the vision is because not everyone is with you on that vision, it becomes a little bit soul destroying. And so I ended up kind of falling out of love with PR, even though we'd had some brilliant, brilliant wins. We'd won awards, we'd done some amazing work. But I think I really started to just fall out of love with what it was doing, what it was being used for. And there's lots of all of those companies that I talked about, we did fabulous work. There was lots of other people that we also worked with, which didn't always feel the right fit. And I think that's when you know that something's just not going the right direction, when deep down inside you just feel like, I feel really stressed by this and I feel really anxious about this. And it was all consuming. And when you work in a corporate, like if I went back before self-employed time, when you work for somebody and you just feel cross a lot of the time because things are not being done right, or things you can't get what you want done. I started to feel like that, and I was like, but this is my business. Like, why am I making myself feel like this? Why am I putting myself in a position where I feel like this? It's ridiculous, because the whole point of being self-employed is that you have direction and you have control and you have some freedom to work how you want. So I had a bit of a realization that no, this wasn't going the way that I wanted it to go. And I was also really tired at this point. So I'd become a mum and I was really, really tired. And really kind of just like, oh, what am I doing with my time? And so it just became a struggle. And at that time, literally, it was an opportune moment that I met a lady who was set up networking events for female entrepreneurs. And she said to me, will you come and speak to my members? And I said, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. That sounds fun. And she was like, well, they won't know what PR is and they won't want to do it. But I want you to come and talk to them. And I was like, oh great, here we go again. But actually, do you know what? That I saw as a mission that I wanted to take on, that I saw as a challenge that just was a worthy challenge that needed to happen. And I went along and I met these women, and they had incredible businesses. So there were people who were really successful in corporate who had left the corporate space because they didn't feel connected to what they were doing. And they had then gone on to create these businesses which were driven by absolute passion and purpose. And that's what got me. They were like, I need to make a change with this business. Like, I do this work for a reason. And so it was so important to me that their voices were heard, and this became then my mission of, right, this is how I can use my skills and feel good about it. I can project these people and I can elevate these people and I can give them the space that they deserve to take up, and help them be seen. So yeah, that was the start of the change in the business direction.
Nice. I think, yeah, it's often a challenge that we have in our lives in certain situations. It's like, yeah, you mentioned it there, pushing against something is like, it
Yeah.
shouldn't be this difficult. It shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah.
There's something not quite right. And it's, the question then is, what do we do about that? Do we just keep trying to plow through and see what happens? Or do we say, well, time out, enough is enough. It's time to make some changes. Obviously, that's what I try and help people with through, my model and the framework of the 12 chains and my book and all that sort of stuff, which actually leads me nicely onto the next area that I want to get your input on. It's like you're working with women entrepreneurs now. You mentioned some of them, already successful and things like that. Talk to me about, some of those conversations that you have about owning your story, being comfortable with it, even, all the flaws, the perceived failures, not feeling like you're worthy. Because one of the chains that I talk about in my book is perception. And so we have a perception of ourselves, but we also create images of what other people think of us. And often it's that holds us back, because we're like, yeah, nobody wants to know my story. It's not important. It's not exciting. And obviously you're trying to flip that script and say, well, actually, yes, it is. It's really valid. So just talk me through that process and, the types of conversations that you have with your clients.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what happened when I went to that networking event. So the first time I sort of stepped into that world of female entrepreneurs, I was just faced with this sea of faces looking at me as if I was absolutely freaking insane. trying to suggest that they would be getting themselves in the press or that they could celebrate their stories in the media. Because what happens is, when we're in corporate space, we're kind of We're taught certain things, aren't we? That you leave your personal life at the door. We don't want to hear you shouting up, sharing your opinions. You need to sort of just play the game and quite often sort of wear a mask. Let's be honest. A lot of corporate success comes from actually not really being you and being the person that they want you to be. And when you step out and you become an entrepreneur, it's the absolute flip side of that. So we know the online space is so busy. We know that. Being successful in business, it takes a lot of you to connect with your ideal clients. So that people buy from people and people need to see the individual. We don't want to just buy from a faceless brand. So I had to really speak to these women and say, tell me why you do this business, right? Just tell me why you do it. And there was so many incredible stories from, well, I was bullied in corporate and I needed to make sure that other women are not experiencing this. I lost all my confidence and I was in the depths of despair, and actually I felt really vulnerable and really isolated, and I've gone through this personal development journey and thank God I found my way out. But I know there's a lot of women that are still stuck here in the bottom in this deep dark place. So they really wanted to help somebody and I was like, oh my God, how are you going to help them if you don't tell them that bit of the story? If you're just putting yourself out as a coach who helps people build confidence, okay, you get what that is to a degree. But if you don't tell me where you were and how you have come back out of that, how do I trust that you're the right guide for me? How do I trust that you're the person that can help me? And so I started to have these conversations, and you could see the little light bulbs kind of going off, like, oh yeah, well, actually, that's why I hired my coach, or that's why I did this, because I heard this person talk about their story. And I was like, yeah. So the first part is that penny has to drop in terms of realizing the importance of actually sharing that story. But also we have to recognize that that's not easy. And it's not a natural thing for most of us to suddenly start telling the depths of our vulnerabilities. And I really struggled with it myself. So this is one of the reasons why I find that I'm able to help other women, because this is exactly what happened to me when I entered the online space. I'd kind of been hiding behind the brand of the business. And then I entered the online space and I was like, oh, people share a lot here. Okay. Oh, people want to get to know me and why I do what I do. And I really had to dig. And I actually had a coach that helped me through a lot of my imposter syndrome struggles. And I felt really weird kind of telling people, well, actually, I think I was, a bit bullied when I was working in an agency, and I felt like my voice wasn't heard and I had to fight. And there was all things that were coming out that made sense of why I actually cared about giving other people a voice. And yeah, it's crazy what you actually, the dots that you can join when you start to try and make sense of your whole journey. Like, even from a kid, there'll be stuff, weren't there, from when you were a kid and you didn't feel good enough. But we don't go there and we don't identify those things when we don't need to. So when we're in corporate, we never need to talk about that stuff. But when we come into the entrepreneurial space and we're trying to connect with people on a human level, we do need to be able to share some of this. And then this is what the media need to hear from you. If you want to use the power of PR to share your story, then if you think about all the articles that you read, even about, the celebrities and all the people that are super successful, you get to hear about what they were like as a child. And you get to hear about, oh, so little Johnny was always selling, sweets in the tuck shop, or oh, he was always, dancing around and prancing around on stage, or he was always the one that helped his friends. Or you get a sense of who that person is growing up in the interviews that they give. And that's because you've got to connect to people. So yeah, it's interesting.
So how do you deal with those perceived negative situations in people's life? Because getting them to buy into, okay, I understand I need to tell my story. That's what somebody is going to connect with. They're going to be able to
Yeah.
either see themselves, or they know someone who's been through a similar situation, or something like that, that personal touch. But
Yeah.
often one of the reluctances we have is because there are things that we fear in our past, or there are negative situations that we haven't come to terms with. How do you sort of address those with your clients?
Well, it's a process. It's a process that we go through. So what we try and do is just, like I said before, like join the dots of the story. So we only get people to share parts of their story that make sense in the context of what they do. So if there's something in your past that, isn't in any way relevant to the work that you're doing now, we're not going to dig that up and make you share it with the world. It's about finding the connection to the bits of your story that do make sense, and then understanding the power of sharing that back in a positive way. So we don't talk about trials and hardships and tribulations from a woe is me perspective. You've got to have come out the other side before we will share it. So it's not about digging into trauma that's unresolved. It's not about, taking people to a place that they're not ready for. People that we help are people who have been through the journey. They've come out the other side, and then we just help them make sense of it, and join all of the dots. So we have a process where, we interview people basically as if a journalist was interviewing them, and we pull out all the parts that are really powerful. And it's a sharing exercise where you kind of give everything, and then we make sense of it, and then we reflect it back to you from a position of strength and go, look at what you have done, look at what you have achieved, look at all of these things that you've been through, and look at what you're doing now. And it's so powerful then to reframe that, and to make sense of it in that way.
Yeah, it's great to
Amazing.
hear you say that because again, it's some of the conversations I have and actually situations that I've been through myself. It's like, what is oversharing? What is actually relevant for the person in front of me or the conversation I'm having or the context? It's like you have to have that understanding of some things. Yeah, there's no need to share them. And certainly, if you've come out the other side yet, again, it's like, well, that's unresolved. So maybe we
Exactly.
don't
Don't
want to
go
touch on
there.
that right now. So yeah, interesting to hear your perspective on that. And
The
if
other thing
we
as well, sorry, I was just going to say about that. It's about the context of it. So, we've talked about the power of positivity in these sort of situations, and the power of celebration is something that I bring to the party. So, the way that we position with our clients is it's about celebrating you and celebrating what you've achieved and celebrating what you're bringing to the world and celebrating the impact you're going to have on other people. So the context that you put it in as well can feel, it can make the whole thing feel very different from a, oh, this is my sob story, to this is me celebrating the hell out of where I was and where I am now and what you can do too. So it's about that vibe as well. Just wanted to, that's important to add, I think, because it's otherwise it can feel really heavy, and that's not what we want.
well, that's the key point I was wanting to pick up on is that there's the reframe generally for celebration, which is great, but it's also a case of you don't need to air everything because it's not all relevant. So if there's somebody listening to this, they're like, oh, I'm not sure about this because of X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, you know what? Maybe that's not relevant to share anyway. So if you're worried about that, just park it. Let's focus on the things that do celebrate you, your journey, what it is that you've achieved in the past, where you're going, how you're helping, all of those positive things, because that is what the story is built upon. Okay, right. You may be more comfortable sharing that. Okay, then is PR an option for you? Probably. Okay, and I guess it's, again, just getting that clear for people and helping them understand and say, yeah, I don't necessarily need to share absolutely
Everything.
everything.
And also, it can be a layered process. So we've got clients, we create something called a media bio for clients, which is basically where all this information goes, and it becomes like a bit of a Bible of kind of your backstory of how you explain who you are, what you do, and why. And these are live documents. So for our clients, there's a couple of instances where one of our clients is she's like a neurodiverse coach. So she specializes in working with people with neurodiversity. And she's talked about her diagnosis and her late diagnosis of ADHD. And that's been the main bulk of her experience that she was wanting to share to connect. As she's got braver over the past few months, and she's had a little bit of experience what it's like to talk to journalists, and she understands if you go a little bit deeper, you get a little bit more, and you actually connect on a wider level. She started to dig a little bit back into her childhood. Now she started to share the feelings of isolation and actually how she never felt like she fit in, and actually how she had quite severe mental health struggles, and she didn't really know what that was all about. And now she can connect it back to the ADHD. When she first created that media bio, none of that was in there because she wasn't really connecting with it and she wasn't comfortable with it. But as she's grown in her confidence and as she's seen people reach out and thank her for sharing her story, she's now able to give a little bit more every time. And she's like, actually, now I'm ready to share this bit. And now I feel like that would be really beneficial for people. So it doesn't all have to be all in either. Like, you know, a big scary, let's just give you my entire life in one go. You know, you can build on this process.
Fantastic. And so building on that, the work that you do with your clients is obviously helping them get into, the press, general media. What does that process look like? From looking at your website, there's general outreach, there's inbounds, there's, a combination of the two. Just for somebody who's listening to this and starting to go, oh, maybe that is something. Maybe I have got a story to share that's relevant and that now I can use to connect with people and help grow my business. Talk me through that process of how you actually work with the media, types of, inquiries and the processes that you go through.
Okay, cool. So the starting point, I just mentioned the media bio. The starting point is to get someone press ready. So you have to believe that you're press ready and that you are credible and that you are somebody who is ready to share. So you've got kind of that's the background work. You've got to get to the point where you are comfortable in knowing what you're going to share. And also, you can project that back to a journalist with confidence and conviction that, okay, I'm ready. I know what I'm doing and I can prove to you that I'm here for it. So, you've got to do that bit of background work first. From there, you've got a couple of options of different ways that you can play the game with PR. And it is basically a game. So, what PR is free editorial coverage in return for giving something of interest to their readers. So, that could be a story. Or it could be some knowledge and some tips. They're traditionally the two kind of main types of PR that we work with. So if you're going to go and share your story, then you would probably be proactively outreaching to media. So you would have your story written and prepared, and then you would basically start to pick off the types of media that you think would be interested in sharing that story. And there are lots of media who are really pro female entrepreneurs, really pro celebrating women in business and giving you that voice. So when you start to dig, you will find there are ready-made opportunities for profile. So sharing your story is one way, and when that's the route that you want to take, usually it's proactively introducing yourself to the right media and kind of going, this is me, this is my story, would this work for you? Your other route is more of the knowledge sharing side of things. So this is where you become an expert in your space, and this is super powerful for growing your business because it gives you that stamp of authority and credibility. So often you can still do this from a proactive perspective of sort of handpicking journalists to introduce yourself to as an expert in a certain field, but also you can react to media opportunities for this side of things. So this is quite a fast-paced way of getting yourself quickly in the media. And this is where journalists already are writing articles. So journalists right now will be writing hundreds of different articles about hundreds of different subjects. And right now, this second in my inbox, will be lots of messages pinging in going, oh, hi, I'm looking for a psychologist. I'm writing an article about happiness and I need someone to tell me blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, hi, I'm looking for someone for a feature on Mother's Day who has been inspired by their mum, for example. So you get these call outs from journalists who are looking for people to include in their content. And they do this more and more these days because their teams have got so squashed. So this they need us and they need everyone like you guys to actually to be a part of this process. So that's called reactive PR. That's where you can basically kind of connect yourself with a journalist who is writing something that you fit in with. And if you've got your bio ready and you can say, I'm an expert in this, this, and this because of this, this, and this, then you put yourself in front of them and go, right, yes, I can respond to this for you. Here are my tips. So it's very much playing a game, but you've got to know the rules of the game and you've got to know, you know, actually how to play it to have a chance. So this is why I love doing these kind of conversations because PR is something that's quite mysterious still, I think. It's something that people probably haven't had a touch of, you know, if unless they've worked in marketing in a corporate, why would you know how this works? And PR isn't about sitting waiting by the phone for journalists to suddenly decide they're going to feature you. You know, that's not actually how it works. You have to be proactive and you have to be getting yourself in front of them. So yeah, anything we can do to sort of help people understand the process is definitely valuable.
Yeah, and I guess the other key thing to understand is there's lots of different types of media. There's obviously online websites, there's print media, there's TV, there's radio, there's podcasts, there's a list that just keeps going because we're in a world now that is media heavy. So, there are lots of opportunities out there.
And I guess one thing I'd say there is if you're new and you're starting from scratch, don't scare yourself by thinking I've got to go big straight away. So some people when they come to us, they're like, yeah, I want to be in Forbes, yeah, I want to be on telly, I want to do this, I want to do that. And we're like, okay, well, we've got to build some steps to that. Because to be fair, the media that work at those levels want to see that you are a credible voice. So they're probably not going to choose you if you've not been in any other press before. So it is a little bit of a ladder. So what we would say is try and just start small. So start literally with your local media because it's their job to celebrate local people. And actually, it is very much a part of their role to give you a voice and to showcase you. And as long as you're not doing it from too much of a sales perspective, this is where the story comes in. Because if you approach them and go, oh, hi, I've got this amazing business and this is what I do, they'll be like, yeah, nice one. Where's your money? Like, let's get an advert in. They will advertise your business if you pay for that. If you want to get in the media for free, this is where you've got to tell your story or give some expertise. But absolutely, I would start from a local perspective, and use the fact that you are a local entrepreneur. Tell the story of, I'm an ex-teacher or I'm an ex, whatever. Now I've become a business owner. This is my journey. I want to inspire other people. That's really, really a really strong place to start. And then you can grow from there.
Okay, so looking at it from the other side, then what are some of the pitfalls that people should be aware of and obviously try and avoid?
So I touched upon it that selling, right? We do not sell in PR. So this is something that people will be like, oh, well, what's the point of it then? I thought I was going to use it to promote my business. And yes, you are going to use it to promote your business, but it's a very subtle form of marketing. So PR is a very, it's more of a communications tool than an advertising channel, let's say. So if you go to a journalist and you just sell to them, they are going to block you straight away because that is not how PR works. So we need people to understand that you have to storytell and not sell to get in the media. And you have to be super helpful. So how you play the game is you are a value to the journalist. So you have to think about, well, what works for them? What do they need? Which is why you need to be press ready in the first place to make the whole process really easy for them. So we've had clients that have got like double page spreads in women's magazines, and they've literally just lifted the content from the media bio because we've already written their story. So they don't need to do interviews, they don't need to spend hours writing it up. It's literally on a plate. So the easier you can make it, the better. And the same goes if you've got an announcement. So let's say you've launched a podcast or you've launched a book or you've won an award or something, write the story as the journalist would have written it. So write it in third person, ready made as an article, and send, because you're cutting down the time involved then that they have to work on it. And then that's going to increase your chances of success. So yeah, you've got to play the game.
And I suppose that's an interesting point there is that you can actually craft some of the stories yourself. You mentioned that, like a press release, new book, new podcast, client win, things like that, doing some charity work or whatever. And it's like, if you take the time to write that, craft it in a way that is presentable to somebody, at a media outlet, you mentioned it makes their life easier. They don't have to do the research, but I guess you can also potentially take that and send it to 10 people at the same time. And suddenly you've potentially multiplied your outputs. And if you get picked up by three of those, well, great, you've just had to write that thing once.
Absolutely. And also, let's think about the power of that. Actually, being in control of what's said about you is amazing. Like, if someone's going to copy and paste word for word, The exact way you want to be described. How awesome is that? Like, that's when it's a big win, when you've written something and you see it in the paper word for word, as it and the journalist just puts their name on it. You're like, oh, okay, now, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. So the more you take control of the information that goes out, then the more powerful that message is going to be anyway.
Nice. And so that leads me nicely as we start to wrap this up. We touched on a couple of different areas here. Obviously, having somebody ready the story, thinking about, the types of connection with the journalist, whether it's story piece, whether it's, valuable tips and things like that, and whether you are proactive or reactive. And if there's somebody listening to this and they're like, okay, no, maybe I start to get a sense of this, I can see that there may be an opportunity here for me. What would you suggest as sort of the first three steps for them, or guidelines that you would say, this is your, the way to approach it right now?
Okay, so let's. It's about thinking about who you are, what you do, and why. Like, those will be the three things that I would want you to be super clear about before you go anywhere near a journalist. So you need to be able to basically introduce yourself, covering those three things in a paragraph or in an elevator pitch, in a 60-second kind of, introduction. And that's not easy because there's so much that you want to say, and then you've got to bring it right back in and get really super clear on who you are, what you do, and why. And with the who you are bit, the more specific you can be, the better. So, if I was to say I'm a PR coach for female entrepreneurs, that's really clear, like in terms of my audience and what exactly it is that I'm doing. You've got to try and really make it as kind of specific as possible, because then they can visualize it, and then they get it, and then they understand where they can use you. And what you do, you need to be able to say in a nutshell as well. So it's not about these convoluted explanations. It's about being really super succinct when you're talking to journalists. And then the why bit is so important. The why bit is your mission, and that should always be a part of that conversation when you're having with a journalist. And that's what gets you across that line of them thinking you're trying to sell to them, and them understanding that actually you are on a mission here, and that it really matters that everyone understands what you're saying, because you're here to make a change and you're here to make a difference. So I would say start there, understand how you want to come across. And then the next step is thinking about, well, where do I need to be seen? So that's when you start to do a bit of research on the right types of media. And then that research will then tell you what the opportunities are. So some of those opportunities might be, well, every week this particular publication has a Q&A section for entrepreneurs. Okay, right, cool. So if I look at these questions, I answer these questions, then that's a way in for me to be in that publication. Or you might see on my local radio, every Friday they have a talk slot speaking to local business people. I'll try that. So when you start to get under the skin of like the right media, you will then unpick it even further to see what opportunities there are within each publication. And that's how you have the best success. So do not blanket send introductions to people. Really try and unpick what opportunities are within which media.